So you get the gist anyway. It's going to be your mission to keep Captain Waddles under control, let's just say. Don't ever, for God's sake, let your wife, girlfriend, mistress, whatever, hear you say you are trying to keep her under control, because God help you, I will not be held responsible for that bullshit. So she's going to be the love of your life and your worst nightmare at the same time. Now, trips to the hospital. When I say trips to the hospital, I mean, God damn it, you are going to spend more time at the fucking hospital than you are anywhere else. And it's not as if it's like an episode of House every time. The first time you go in there, it's magical. Second time you go in there, it's still a little bit of magical. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, you're like, right, this is starting to become fucking boring now. And you go there with your darling, or I went there with my darling wife, and you sit in a room full of other pregnant, angry Marvel villains, and it's kind of like, I wish I'd said DC villains now, because I could have said it's like the Legion of Doom, because you sit there surrounded by angry women, who are simply just, it's like a scene from a sci-fi movie. They're all strapped to machines, around this big fat planet that they're carting around with them, they just sort of sit there, angry. I'm hot. I'm bothered. I can't move because of this bloody thing on my stomach. And, I mean, really, you're listening to, like, it's tracking, like, the baby's heartbeat and things like that, and, you know, relatively important information. But by week, you know, 20 fucking 8 or whatever you're on to, I mean, you are actually becoming more of a dad the more time you spend in the hospital, because the one thing I did tell my 5-year-old was that he did ask us one day, Dad, why do you have a beard? And I jokingly said to him, you get a beard when you become a dad. And it wasn't until later on I was thinking this, I actually grew my fucking beard waiting in this pissing hospital for the kid to come out. So it is true, when you grow your beard sitting in this waiting room, panicking for your dear life because your angry wife is sitting there, hot and bothered and sweaty and seething because you're the bastard that did this to her, even though she dragged you up the stairs and forced it into her, it's still your fault. So you're going to spend a lot of time at a hospital. I mean, by the time I left, there was actually people asking me for advice on things. Doctors were asking me questions, and I was like, mate, I don't actually work here. They're like, no, man, I've seen you here like every day for the past 6 months or something. You definitely work here. I was like, no, man, I didn't. I just bring them all last year. Don't get close to her, you'll get stuck in the gravity and you'll never be able to escape. You're practically a medical student, to be honest with you, the amount of time you spend there. I spent more time there than most of the fucking doctors did. But, alas, it was a great experience and it's something I wouldn't change. In fact, yes, I would. The one thing I would change, right, brings us very nicely onto the birth of my child. When my wife had a cesarean, and when she did this, you've got like a time and date you need to go to the hospital for, like book in, like you're going to a hotel. So you know, you turn up with your bags and your luggage and your planet that's sweating and shouting at you. So you get there and You go to the lady at the desk and you say, hi, I'm a hostage. I'm hostage number two. You explain to this poor lady on the desk who has seen every other hostage that's passed in during that day and who was checked into Misery Hotel. Really, not once has she bothered to ask if you're all right. It's all about the pregnant lady you brought with you. I mean, I thought I was going to be taken down to some sort of spa and left to relax. No, didn't happen. I was actually locked in a room with this angry pregnant lady. So I digress. I do actually love my wife, and it was one of the greatest experiences of my life. Not that she's just walking in the room and standing looking at us. So you go to the hospital and you check in at the right date and time, because if you're there 2 minutes early, they won't fucking let you in. And you're carted off to this room, and then you're left there and told, right, the doctor will be around in a minute to see you. And at this point, I'm actually sitting there saying, well, as far as I'm concerned, I am a doctor. I've been here every day for the last, 16 fucking years. I might as well just stay. I'll tell you when the baby's due. So the doctor comes round and again straps me darling wife up to this machine around her tummy that she's been seething about for the past few months. And straight away the doctor says, the baby sounds like he's in distress. We need to get him out quickly. And the next, time-wise, I don't actually know how long this took. Because to say my ass dropped out of the back of my pants at that moment would have been the biggest understatement of my life. So what proceeded to happen next was a group of, it was like an episode of House at this point, because a group of medical guys came in, carted my wife out, and as I went to follow, I was given the usual hand on the chest, no, you wait here. And I was like, all right, no bother. What I do? And some nurse said, oh, they'll come and get you shortly, didn't worry about it, everything will be fine. To which I'm point thinking, why would you say everything's going to be fine? We're in a hospital, my baby's in distress, why are you telling us everything's going to be fine? I'm starting to panic a bit now, my beard growing a bit more, a bit longer, and a bit greyer. So I sat in that room for, I tell people, at least 7 or 8 hours, but whether it was that or 7 or 8 minutes, I don't actually know. I just know I sat in that room, panicking like fuck, not knowing whether I should phone people, like phone Wallace's mom and tell her what's going on, phone my mom and tell her what's going on, or what do I do, what am I meant to do? So I sat there, and up until this point, I've only actually told a couple of people this, but I went to the window, and I got down on my knees, and I put my hands together, and I said to whoever the fuck's listening, if anything happens to that baby, I will come up there, and I will fucking destroy you. And to God's honest to truth, if anything had happened to Wallace or that baby, I would have. I would have went God of War, and I would have found my way up there, and I would have destroyed, I would have tore the whole place down. But then some nurse came in and threw some scrubs at us and went, put them on, I'll be back in 2 minutes. And to be fair, right, when someone throws scrubs at you and says, put them on, right, the first thing that crossed my mind was, do I take my clothes off to put these clothes on? Or do I just put them on over my clothes? This is how much of a moron I am. I just overthink fucking everything. So I just, shoved them on over my clothes, squeezed into the stupid overall things they give you. And I rocked them blue fucking stupid poor paper clothes they give us. And I went down and I went and seen my wife, who at this point was in the operating room, and she had like a curtain over, so I could only see like the top half of her, and there was like a curtain over the bottom half where all the doctors were playing, it was like a big game operation. And I remember like saying to her, you can I have a look like at what they were doing, and the nurse said, you can, but if you pass out like everybody else does, we won't pick you up off the floor, we'll just leave you there. And I was like, yeah, fuck it, I'll just stay up here. And I tell you what, me and Wallace had a proper laugh, just took the piss, while she was lying there with her, like, stomach cut open and everything, and then they pulled your little boy out. And I'm pretty sure he was only about 4.9 pounds when he was born. And he was this tiny little thing. And I remember Wallace looking at him and crying and being all happy and going, he looks like a monkey. I think that's my fucking son. He doesn't look like a monkey. Pocket in, you bitch. Fuck's sake, man. Lying there with your guts all hanging out, insulting me, baby. But you know, I let her off because she was drugged up. So yeah, so that was my first experience with childbirth. So that was me having my first, well, I didn't have my first son, obviously Wallace had my first son, but that's how he came into the world, and that's how I threatened the gods and told them, put them in that place. Me, my mere mortal self, telling the gods that I will fuck them up. So yeah. After the baby was born, right, and we did have to keep him in hospital for a week, and that's not something I'm going to get into the day. It will be a story for another time. But I did, like, literally just today, and I wasn't going to put this in because I didn't have it wrote down on my idiot sheets to speak about, but it was something that I overheard, literally just today on the metro, and it got us thinking, and about, well, I wish I had actually, like, spoke to the person and said, you know, why did you feel like that, how did you feel like that, how do you feel about it now? I just know how I felt about it at the time. And this is what it was, right? So I'm sitting on the metro, and I could hear these two fellas talking. And he was talking about how he's got a new baby in the house, and he feels, like, guilty about everything. And he was saying how, like, his wife does everything for the baby. Right, because, I mean, let's be honest, in the design of humans, right, a woman is like an Iron Man suit, you know? There's a lot of thing on a woman body that has, like, stuff to do, and, you know, like, women's breasts have a purpose, and all of a sudden I can't remember any other part of a woman's body besides the breasts for some reason. But, I mean, recently I found, I don't know if this is true or not, but apparently, like, a man can, what's it called? You know, give milk, lactate, right? And I don't even know if this is true or not, it's just something I don't know if I read it or heard it somewhere. And you know when you just think, if my wife walked on me trying to breastfeed the baby, we wouldn't be married anymore. So, anyway, back to the point. So women, like Iron Man armor, you know, they're just, every part of their body is just useful to a baby, you know, that's like, that's the purpose, you know, to like give life, and our purpose, I suppose, in a way, is like to upload the virus, because let's be honest, children and mankind is just like the ultimate STD, right? You can't get a more efficient sexually transmitted disease than a baby, can you? And I, that is such a horrible thing to say, but I just find it funny, so there you go, live with it. So yeah, this guy was like telling his pal how, you know, like he goes to work and he comes back and he cannot like see the baby because the baby's asleep, because the baby needs to be asleep. And just like how the mom can feed the baby, and he just feels like useless and things like that, where obviously I've went through this a couple of times with my kids now. And I don't feel the same way as what he did. I just feel like when my sons were younger, that yes, my wife didn't actually breastfeed. We did do the whole breast pump thing, so we were both bottle feeding the boys. So I didn't get the experience of, oh, she's just feeding the baby, I kind of feed the baby, I'm useless. But I did have the thing of, like, I want to, like, help, and I want to for all my wife would tell you totally otherwise, you know, lazy bastard, just want to play on the fucking Xbox all day. Which in itself is true, yes. Right, I mean, now that my kids are a bit older and stuff, I don't actually... I used to be quite a big gamer, where now I'm just not. I lost it. When my children were born, I got so into, like, being the dad. I found I didn't have time to Xbox anymore, because I just didn't have time. My kids ruined my gaming career. I could have been such a good, like, I could have been a one of the guys you see on the like the esports guys now. I mean, I know I'm like probably 15 to 20 years older than most of them, but that's not the point. I could have been a contender. My kids ruined that, bastards. But after you're playing on your Xbox and your baby decides, well, I'm not saying my baby decided, I don't want to blame him. He was actually lying between me and me oldest son, and we were playing Xbox and chatting away, and next thing you know, baby does a backflip, sort of, well, a front flip, really, off the bed onto the floor and tried to give us a heart attack. Oh, son of a bitch, he's been trying to get rid of me since day one. Yeah, so getting back on point, I suppose. I never had this thing of, like, feeling like I wasn't doing stuff because, like, my wife got us involved and, like, you know, changing nappies and changing clothes and feeding and burping and, you know, letting them be sick all the way and things like that when you've winded them. I mean, I've got to be honest, I'm an expert winder. And, like, I mean, I can wind anyone. I'm like a professional winder, right? If winding was an Olympic sport, I'd be at least a silver medalist. I don't want to be an overachiever after all, do I? So, yeah, so there's lots of... There's ways around things. Like, obviously, if your wife's breastfeeding, then I don't want to turn around and say, well, don't get involved with it at all. Maybe if you're breastfeeding, you do have a breast pump, you are storing breast milk, so then you feed the baby. And I know a big thing from one of my good friends was when the baby was little, like newborn, and you know, you're up every hour of the night feeding them and this and that, and mom has this natural ability when a baby's crying to just cuddle them in and that's it, he stops crying, right? And my, like, a friend of mine would, he felt like he was just making things worse whenever he'd go to the baby, because, like, the baby, he'd go up and he'd try and settle the baby down, you know, talk to him, he'd cuddle him, he'd, you know, sing to him and things like that, and nothing would happen. In fact, it'd just make him worse. The kid would cry more, and then mom would have to get up anyway and be like, right, nice try, dickhead, go back to bed. And you generally feel shit about it, right? And it can give you, like, maybe, well, like, it probably could give you depression, I suppose, but it gives you, like, an anxiety of the fact that you know you were going to go into this bedroom in the middle of the night while your wife's sort of awake because she knows the baby's crying, and you're going, you know, I'm the man, I'm the dad, I'm going to go and sort it out, and you have this anxiety and this sort of negative, like, negative energy about you because you've got up and you're already thinking, I'm going to go in there and I'm not going to be able to quiet him down. He's going to scream his lungs out and he's just going to make it worse. And my wife's going to have to get up anyway and I'm going to look like a right twat and I've just made the baby scream more in the middle of the night. And you just feel crap about it. So, it's not always like that. I mean, my son, one of my sons, we're like really close because when he was little and he was crying, I'd try my best to see to him, and I was always cuddling him in and lying with him and just generally mucking on and dicking about with him from him being tiny. So now he's older, he's just like, it's just like, mom's in my house. I tell people, like, my wife is the primary caregiver. Right, and this is where the whole player chiefs thing came from, because player chief is dad, as far as I'm concerned. Dads and granddads are player chiefs. You are there just to generally build forts, play with Legos, dress up as monsters and chase kids around the house and dick about. That's your job. You're play chief, you're a dad, that's your job. So, like, from being young, my boys learned that dad will play with you and dick about you and look after you, but you can always come and sit on dad and have a cuddle, and if you just want to chill out. So I encourage people to do that. Where some people are like, no, I'm his dad. He just comes to me when he's had a fight, and I need to tell him that he needs to come back out there and punch the kid in the face, and we'll shake hands on a night time when I put him to bed, because I'm not hugging him because it's gay. And it's not, man. It's like, for fuck's sake, he's your kid. Fucking give him a hug, give him a kiss, tell him you love him, put him to bed. And just generally be affectionate to them. They're only little. They've got to learn this stuff. So I'm going to leave that at that this week. Now, thing of the week. I really need a theme tune for this. And I'm stuck between having, like, you know, the 50s harmonized girls singing, you know, theme of the week. I'll not be singing that again, you bunch of dicks, so stop laughing. Or like a proper Viking theme of the week sort of sound. And I think I might actually just stick with theme of the week, because I feel like I could do theme of the week every week. And actually doing that 3 or 4 times, I feel like I'm losing my voice now. So I might knock that on the head as well. So thing of the week this week was going to be my youngest son's projectile snot sneeze. But it has literally today changed to this, right? And this week, the thing of the week is sit down, arsehole, right? Because this is what my 4-year-old told my 5-year-old when they were sitting down to get the tea. Because in my house, we do have a dining room and stuff like that, right? But it only ever gets used for, like, you know, family comes over and things like that. Where my wife would actually have it that we use it every week, where we don't. And so we were in the sitting room, and we have, like, a picnic blanket that we put on the floor to catch all the crap that the boys drop when they're eating. Just to save me carpet being ruined, to be honest with you. So, my 4-year-old had sat down and he had his tea and he had his drink and he was sitting munching away when my 5-year-old come in and he put his plate down and I believe he was going to get a drink, and I think he stood in front of the telly or something to that effect, and my wife was sitting next to me and my 4-year-old looked at him and he went, "Sit down, arsehole." And my first reaction was, "Did he just say sit down, arsehole?" And my wife burst out laughing. And me at this point, being the good parent, which I know is hard to believe, right? Me being the good parent, trying to keep a straight face. I am trying my goddamnedest. I think I sprained every part of my body keeping a straight face at this point. And my wife said to me, "Look, you cannot say that. That's swearing. That's naughty. You can't say that." And my 4-year-old just laughed and went, "But he is an arsehole." Which made my wife laugh more, which made him laugh more. And I'm like, "Michael, you cannot say that, man. It's naughty." And she just, "Oh, you all right then?" And my wife looked at him and just went, "But it was funny." I was like, "That's not the point." She went, "But it was funny, how I admit it." I was like, "Well, yes, it was funny, but I'm trying to be a good parent here, you know, at least give us some sort of chance." So, yeah, that was me thing of the week. The only other thing of the week I have this week is we are doing a charity walk for the Bliss charity, and it's for premature babies or babies who are born with illness and things like that. So we are doing a charity walk for that, and if you go on Just to Give, their website, and you can find the Bliss donation things on there, I suggest you go on there and donate some money. I don't care what it is, you know, £1, £100, £1 million, just donate something. So we're doing that, and that's going to be in August. Me and my five-year-old, we're going to do a 4K hike, march, walk, probably crawl by the time we get to the end of it. We're going to do that and try raise some money for some little babies. What else was happening? I don't think anything else was actually happening. I do have a section that wrote down here called Question Time, but since that this is the first podcast and nobody really knows where to send questions to, I'm going to skip it for this week. So get yourselves writing down some questions. Any questions you have, any information you need or you'd like to pass on, or any stories you want to send in, please just send them in and I'll get the way you want to send them in a minute. So if you want to get in touch, you need to send an email to the playtubespodcast@gmail.com. Or alternatively, you can find me on Facebook and YouTube under Mission Dad. So if you want to see my ugly mug, have a look. Mission Dad, Facebook, YouTube. But anything else, any questions, any feedback, I don't want bad feedback. Not yet, anyway. I'm just finding my feet with this whole podcast thing. I know this is like my first episode. It sounds shit, but I want to say I'll promise you'll get better, but I'm not going to make promises I kind of keep. So just keep listening. We'll see where we can go with it. I want to get more people on. I want to chat with other dads about their happiest memories, their worst memories, just all the general stupid stories. That's really what I want. All the daft things that happen in lives, basically. I want to create a little vortex of stupid stories that we can all have a laugh about. If you want to get in touch, playtubespodcast@gmail.com or find me on Mission Dad at Facebook. Peace out, much love, bye bye.